Please be seated. Join me, if you will, as we pray. Well, Father, we thank you so much for the day and your kindness and goodness. And Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that your name is powerful. Because right here in this room right now, there's some people that need you, Jesus, to break the bondage of their past. Their hurts, their habits, their hang-ups are stopping them from having the life, Lord, that you want them to have. And so that name of Jesus can break that bondage. Lord, there's some folks here that need you, Jesus, to lift the shame and the regret of their past off their life. They can't walk free because they consistently beat themselves up over the past. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would lift that from them. And Father, there are those that are here that are still asking those basic sort of, you know, life existential questions. Why am I here? Where am I going? What's the purpose of life? And Jesus, you answer all of those perfectly, as only you can do. So if there's someone here right now asking those questions, Lord, I pray that you would please touch them. And now, Father, as we turn to your word, we pray that you'll be pleased with what's said and done. Holy Spirit, teach us, open our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, good morning. Okay, Grace Kids, where are you? Grace Kids, let's tell them we love them. Grace Kids, my wife has them today. They're in great hands. Awesome. Very good. Summer is winding down, and it's interesting. If you had my perspective every Sunday, what you would get to see is just really part of our culture. You get to see people coming to church in shifts based on vacation, right? You've got one group here that's on vacation, another group gone on vacation, another group on vacation, and here at Grace, we say, enjoy your vacation, amen? Amen. When God gives it to you, enjoy it to the fullest. Enjoy the time with your family. Enjoy the time with your friends, because that time goes by too fast. How many of you know the older you get, the faster time goes? And boy, isn't that true? Specifically if you have kids and they start growing, man, you realize how fast that time goes. So please know that here, never, ever, 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 ever feel any guilt or shame or like, oh gosh, the preacher's going to say this or the church is going to believe that. I ain't been to church in 3 weeks because, you know, we've been on family vacation. No, no, no. We want to see the pictures, right? We want you to celebrate that time God gives you with the family. But now when you're home, get out of the bed. Get out of the bed and come to church. We need you. We need you. We love you. It's great to see you and glad that you're here. Hey, we're finishing up our series, 3 weeks, dealing with the prodigal son. If you have your Bible or devices, you can flip over or log in Luke 15, beginning in verse 11 is where we're going to be. Actually, we've looked at 11 through 24 pretty fully, and we're going to look at 25 through 32 today. But let me just catch you up on what's going on. We've been talking about the prodigal. Now, you remember the prodigal son is a parable. Now, what is a parable? A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Understand that's what it is. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus tells a story that has a heavenly principles, heavenly meaning. He points us upward through this story. So here's how the story goes. There's a wealthy dad and he has two sons. The younger son comes to him and says, Dad, I want my portion of my inheritance. Now remember, back then, what that meant was, in the Eastern world, it meant the son was saying to his dad, Dad, I sort of wish you were dead, and I wish I had your stuff. Now, that's exactly how the dad would have interpreted that. It was a very rude, unbecoming, out-of-place thing to say. But that's what he said. He said, Dad, I want to go to this faraway country, and I want a party. Give me what I have coming to me. So the dad said, fine. So he liquidated that half of his possessions, pulled it all together in a bunch of money, gave it to the kid. And then the Bible says that the kid went to this faraway place, and he partied. Matter of fact, it said he hung out with prostitutes, and he drank. And then one day, he woke up broke. Okay, it's confession time. How many of y'all have gone out at night visiting places? We're already confessing, right? We're already confessing. How many of us have gone out at night, you know, we've been to the bar or been to this? Do not look at me like I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. That's why I'm in church. I need a Savior, right? So how many of you have gone out at night, pocket full of money, and you wake up, I went out with $300 and somebody must have took it. Everybody laughing's been there. They must have taken it. They didn't take it. You drank it away. You're a fish. It's horrible. That's what this guy did. This is exactly what he did. He took his part of the money. He goes to a faraway country. We don't know where it was. It's a parable. It's not meant to have a bunch of pedantic specific details, right? So, but it's a faraway. So he goes to this faraway country. He goes over there and he begins to party and party and party and party. And then one day he wakes up and he's broke. Because the moral of the story, we could stop there. If that's the life you choose, you're going to be broke. Okay, I mean, we can go ahead and summarize that. That's just how that works. But anyway, so he goes on that road. He wakes up broken. This is what he says. He says, I don't have anything to eat, and I don't know what to do. So he finds a guy in that country, and he hires himself out and says, look, I'll do anything. Just give me a job. He said, great, you can feed the pigs. Now, this was a good Jewish boy. So here's what that meant spiritually. Every single day of his life, he woke up and went to a place where he defiled himself spiritually. That's exactly what that meant. So every day he was unclean in a spiritual way. So he woke up every day and he went and he did that and he was unclean before the Lord. He was looking back on his life. He made some really bad choices about what he did, his behaviors, how he acted, what he spent his money on. He was regretting all of that. He was feeding the pigs. And then what we find in the story is he came to the bottom. Remember? He came to the bottom. Everybody has a bottom. Everybody's bottom is different. If you know somebody living the prodigal life, if they're partying and doing all that kind of stuff, and that's all they're doing, understand they will hit the bottom. You don't get to do that without hitting the bottom. You don't get to go down that road with a get-out-of-jail-free card and not have to hit the bottom. You will hit the bottom. Everybody's bottom is different. Everybody's bottom looks different, but you'll eventually get there if you stay there long enough. And so he hits the bottom, and this is what he says. Key point, he says, I got to change. He said, I got to change because my dad's servants live better than I do. I'm feeding pigs. I'm a good Jewish boy. This doesn't work. And my dad's servants eat better than I do. He said, this is what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to my dad. I'm going to say, Dad, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be your son, but please take me back and let me be a servant. That's what I'm going to do. So he gets up the next day, scripture says, and he goes home. And this is what's cool. As he's approaching his home, coming down the road, right? Long road. Coming down the road, his dad, and the dad represents our Father, God, is who he represents. Remember, earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The dad represents the Lord. The dad sees him a long way off, and he jumps up and takes off running. He doesn't let the kid get... Now, when your kids sin and do wrong, how many of you make them grovel a little bit? Anybody? Right? All right, yeah, you make it... You want them to feel the pain just a little, right? And so, but not our Heavenly Father. That's not how he functions. So he jumps up in the story. He takes off running, and he runs, and he meets his son, and he throws his arms around him. And before he could say anything, the son says, Dad, I have sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. I'm not worthy to be your son. Just, you know, let me be a servant. He said, whoa, wait a minute. No. He yells to the servant. He said, listen, come get him a robe. Get him a new robe. Bring the ring. Probably the family crest, indicating he's fully back in the family. More than likely, that's what the ring was. So bring the ring. Then he says, you know, put some shoes on his feet and go kill the fatted calf. Get everybody together. We're going to celebrate. My son was lost, but now he's found. He's dead, and now he's alive. We're going to have a party. Amen. Now, we talked about that over the last couple of weeks. And we talked about how the Lord leaves the porch light on for we prodigals. We can stray far from the family of God, but the Lord leaves the porch light on so we can find our way back. And then when we come back, God's not interested in paying us back. He's interested in getting us back. He wants us back in the family. And so he runs, and he throws his arms around his son, and he pulls him in, and that's a picture of what God does to us when we come back. Aren't you glad that we have a God who runs toward us rather than hides from us? When we repent, when we turn, when we are really ready to come back, God doesn't hide from us. He runs to us. And that's the God that we serve. And that's the God of heaven. So that has taken place. But there's another son in the family. And this is the son we're going to look at today. So if you have your Bibles or devices, look at verse 25. Now it says this. Now his older son, the father's older son, was in the field as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called to one of the servants and asked, what these things meant? And he said to him, your brother has come home. Your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But look at this, the older son, but he was angry and refused to go in. Now his father came out and entreated him, begged him, pleaded with him, talked to him. But he answered his father, he said, look, these many years I have served you. I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, parents, did you hear that? When this son of yours, how many of you ever said that to your spouse? That's your kid. That's your kid. My wife's last name was Stevens. I said, that's the Stevens DNA. It runs, it's strong in him. Strong in this one, the Stevens DNA, right? I mean, we'll say that. And I think that's pretty funny. He says, now this son of yours came who he devoured your property with prostitutes. And now you killed the fatted calf for him. And he's angry. Now, here's what we know about the older brother. Let me tell you a couple things. First, there's some really positive things about the older brother. First, the very first thing we see, the older brother was in the field working. That's a good thing. The older brother was a very responsible person. Now, some of you, how many of you had more than one sibling in your family? How many of you had more than one sibling, right? More than one sibling? Yeah, I'm the youngest of four boys. And if you have more than one child, you understand this very clearly. They're just not all alike. We talked about that last week. They're not. You can know the DNA donors. You can know them, right? And you can look at them and you could say, how did this happen? I don't know how this happened. I don't know how this happened. And you can know them, and they're just so different from each other. Well, the older brother, and let's cut him a little slack before we hammer him, because he's going to get the hammer in a minute, right? But a little slack, he was a responsible guy. He was in the field working. He was a hard worker. He was externally driven. There's no doubt his sister said, Dad, look, all these many years, I've obeyed you. I've followed your command. I've done what you've asked. I have been in the field working. I have been responsible. I have been at the table. And there's something to that. And it is natural when that is your personality type and who you are, and you're up against somebody who's a monkey. Every single day they want to play, right? They're going to swing around, and they're going to flirt here, flirt there. They're going to be over there, be over that. And you're at your desk working. Working, working. And Joe or Sally, where are they now? Well, they're over there. Where are they now? They're over there. Where are they now? Did they ever get done with that project? I don't even think they know they have a project, right? So, and if you know there are people like that. And if you're the responsible working one, it is natural that you get a little angry, isn't it? I mean, it is natural that you get a little frustrated. I'm over here working really hard. They're over there screwing around, not doing anything. It's natural to get a little angry. So let's cut them a little slack for that, all right? Because he's really... really a hard worker, really there. Now, the other thing we learned is he felt a little bit slighted, perhaps, because he said, Dad, this son of yours, which is still an awesome phrase, right? This son of yours, who's gone off and wasted all of his money on prostitutes and partying, has come back, and what do? Rather than putting the hammer on him, you throw a party for him. That doesn't make any sense. I say, put the hammer on him. You never let me have a party with my friends. I never got to kill a goat and have a party and take a day off and have a lot of fun. No, but he goes off and does a bunch of dumb stuff and he gets a party. This is not making sense. Remember, parable, earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Some of you are mad right now at God because how he's treated others and not treated you. Some of you are mad at God right now because you firmly believe you deserve better or you deserve different. Or you deserve something else. And you look around and you say, God's blessing that person. He's blessing that person. He's blessing that person. God's blessing that person. He's not blessing me. And I am mad because I deserve it. I know what they've done. I know what they think. I know they're sinless. And if I was God, I would have fried them a long time ago. And I know mine, and it's just better. See, when you have an external value system, you automatically compare. When you think all there is to the Christian experience is an external value system, you're going to compare. And you're going to feel cheated when God treats somebody else better than he's treating you. I got to tell you, I've been frustrated before. I've looked around and seen how God blesses some. And And if I'm not careful, sometimes I can get an entitlement thing going. Not long, because I know where it takes you and it's nowhere good. So it's somewhat natural to slide down that road. But I want you to see that this guy was angry, not so much at his brother, because he's probably had gotten over that. His brother sounds like he was a pretty irresponsible kid anyway. So he'd probably gotten over that a long time ago, right? I mean, he was the one. I mean, those of you who have multiple kids, you send your kids out to do a chore, and one of them's inevitably going to come in screaming, "Dad, so-and-so's not doing his part of the job." Am I right? Now, in my house, it was usually the older brother and younger brother thing, right? I mean, that's what happened. So that worked at my place. You know, so-and-so's not doing his part of the job. So he'd probably already gotten over that. But what he was angry about is how the father treated him. See, a religion without a relationship will always produce anger. Here's how it works. When you begin to look and say, these are all the good things I've done, I've not done this. Well, at least I haven't done it in a while, right? And so I haven't done this. And so, you know, this is all the stuff I've done. This is all the things I haven't done. And then you compare over here, and you see some discrepancy in how God moves. It's almost always going to produce anger in your life. Almost always going to happen. And here's the other thing that's going to occur. You are going to become mechanical before the Lord and not relational. Look at what he says. He says, older son in verse 29 says, I've obeyed you and I followed your commands. I've obeyed you and I followed your commands. Do you notice what words are not there? Can I tell you a word that's not there in relationship to his father? Love. Love's not there. He never said, Dad, I have loved you. I have loved you and my love has driven me to be faithful and honorable towards you. He didn't say love. He didn't say, Dad, I've stayed in relationship with you. Dad, I've honored you because of your God-ordained position. None of that. You see, it's natural for us to think that the Christian experience is about do's and don'ts because we live in a culture that wants to evaluate and compare. But when we look at the gospel says there's absolutely nothing you can do good enough to merit the favor of God. And therefore, there's nothing bad enough to throw off the love of God. It's because of grace. God's unmerited. You're unmerited. You cannot earn it. You don't deserve it. But it's God's favor that he puts on your life for salvation. Y'all remember the song? We sing it here some. Amazing Grace. Anybody remember that song? Ever heard of it? We're in church. Some of you have heard of Amazing Grace. All right. Jesus. Anybody heard of Jesus? All right. Okay. Just make sure we're awake. All right. So you've probably heard of Amazing Grace. We don't sing sort of nice grace, do we? That's not the name of it. We don't sing I need a little bit of grace, do we? We sing Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And I couldn't heal myself or find myself. It was God's grace that did it. The older brother really had a problem with grace. Religious people have a problem with grace. People in relationship with Jesus live on it. They depend on it. They love it. They gotta have grace. We don't deserve it, but we need it. That's what God brings into our life. Now, the father sums up the whole problem in two verses. Look at verse 31. The older son's angry. He's mad. He's a religious guy. He's not talking love. He's talking doing. Listen to what happens. And then he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive, and he is lost, and now he's found. The dad says this, you are who you are, you have what you have, so don't worry about it. But just as that's true, it's equally true to celebrate people who were lost, but now they're found. Now let me broaden the scope of this parable before we land the plane. This parable is the third parable in a series of three. Jesus in Luke 15 tells three parables. The first one, he tells of a lost sheep. He said there's a shepherd and he has 100 sheep, but one of the sheep wanders off. And the shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes out to find the one and to bring the one back into the fold. In other words, he would risk the 99 sheep that know who they are, what they're about, where they're going. They get the meaning of life. That shepherd would leave those 99 just for that one sheep that wandered off. So that's the first parable that Jesus tells. The second parable he tells is of a lost coin. He says there's a widow who lost a coin, and she couldn't find it. So she cleans out her house. She sweeps every corner. She looks in every closet. And then finally she finds the lost coin. What was lost was found. And then the third parable he tells us this one, where there's a son who leaves intentionally the love of the father, but he comes back, and he's received back with celebration, not with disdain and shame and guilt and let me tell you this and let me do that and let me tell you that. I've got a list of things, you knucklehead. Boom, 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 boom. You know, that's not how God receives us back. So in three parables, Jesus is making a point. And it's real simple. Lost people matter to God, so they should matter to us. How many of you remember milk in cartons and not in plastic jugs? Can I get a witness? Right? Do you remember? Now, some of you will remember this. This was true in, I was raised south of Detroit. It was true where I was raised, maybe not where you were raised. But on those milk cartons, there was a time when they would print missing children's pictures. Do y'all remember that? Do you remember missing children's picture? And I can remember, you know, the only dialogue I would have with my mom on the milk carton with the missing child's picture, because it would give their birthday, their name, and how old they are, and little description where they went missing from. You remember that? I was pretty young when that was going on, and I remember the only dialogue I ever had in my house is, "Mom, we're out of milk." Wham, you know. That's the only dialogue I ever had. I you know, it never captured me. But something changed my life and perception of missing children. And it happened many years ago. We were visiting Hawaii. My mother-in-law was a teacher there for a couple of years, so we went over to see her. And Madison was little at the time. She was about four. And we were eating at a restaurant called Duke's. I remember this because of the trauma. And you know, when you go through a traumatic event, I mean, things get etched in your mind. You can just see things just like they were yesterday. We were eating at this big table by a window. And we had finished eating, got up, and you could walk. This restaurant was right on the beach. You could walk right out the back of it, the beach, and walk right down onto the beach. And so we all get up, and we're gathering. We go down to the beach. We get out on the beach, and I look at Renee, and I said, "Renee, where's Madison? You don't have her?" "I don't have Madison." I'm like, "Well, okay, well, I'll go find Grandma. She's probably got her." So I find Grandma, Renee's mom. "Sandra, do you have Madison?" "I haven't seen Madison." At that point, my entire world stopped. Now, understand, my nerves, my anxiety, my concern heightened to a level I had never known before in my life. Everything about me changed, and I went into sheer panic mode. I'd never been here before. I didn't know what to do. I began running around crazy, grabbing everybody. "Have you seen a little girl? She's about this tall. She's 40 years old. She's blonde hair, blue eyes. She's got a little dress on. Boop, boop, boop." "No, we haven't." I take off around the restaurant, and it was situated in like one of these outdoor marketplace areas. So I go running around to the front of the restaurant, and I grab the person at the front. I grab him, and I say, "Have you seen my daughter? She's this tall. She's a little girl, blonde hair, blue eyes. She's got this little child. Her name is Madison. Have you seen her?" I said, "You stand right here and don't move. That is my daughter. Don't you move from here." I run inside, and I start grabbing waitresses and waiters. "Have you seen my daughter? She's this big. She's got blonde hair and blue eyes." "No, we don't know." I'm running around, and then finally I get to this one guy. I said, "Look, you need to go to that back door. You need to stand that back door. Somebody's got my daughter. You need to go back there, and you need to stand there. She's blind here. She's blind. Boom, boom, boom." I run around the corner, and there's a serving station right here that has, you know, tea and water and coffee and stuff. And there she sits on the serving station. Sitting on the service station. She's just sitting there. "Hi, Daddy." "Oh, what do you mean, hi, Daddy? What do you mean, hi, Daddy? That's not it." And so there was this older waitress right over here, and she came up. She said, "Sir," she said, "I got your daughter." She said, "I saw you guys get separated when you were leaving. I grabbed her and I put her here." She said, "I just sort of figured you might want her back." I said, "Yes, I do." I grabbed her and I hugged her, and two things happened at that moment. One, I sensed an elation, a fulfillment, an ease, and a peace I had never had in my life. And the second thing was, my entire trip to Hawaii was ruined. All right, so two things happened at the same time, right then. And some months later, I was preparing to talk about evangelism, and the milk carton thing came up. And I thought, you know, how close it was to my daughter being on that milk carton. And then it hit me. How many people would treat the picture of my daughter like I treated the pictures of other people's daughter? Where what was important is we were out of milk. Please go get some more. God wanted to nail this point home on how much he loves prodigals and how much he is after people who have gone astray. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he met in the upper room and instituted communion. You remember? They're laying around at a table and all the apostles are there. It was there Jesus prophesied, made a prophecy about Peter. He said, Peter, before the rooster crows three times, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times before men. Peter gets apoplectic. No way, man, you got the wrong guy. Talk to Judas. You need John's a weakling. You know, talk to him, but not me. No way. I'll never do it. Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you have denied me three times. So they move from there. They go to the garden. Jesus is betrayed. And now Jesus' trial, we won't get into it a lot now, but we will around Easter. There were about three different mini trials he went through. He had to go before this person, and then this person, and then this person. He actually went before Herod twice. And so he was sort of back and forth, back and forth. And then during that night, Peter was following from afar, you know, watching the proceedings. So when they get to the last place that Jesus was going to be tried, if you've seen the picture of the wall, you know, the Wailing Wall, right? Outside the wall, there was would have been this portico built. It would have been like a porch. And if this is the wall, it would have come out this way. It was flat. It had a ramp going up to it, had columns, and it had like an awning over it of cloth, you know, sort of an awning over it. And that's where eventually he would have been, Jesus would have been judged the final time. And so it was there at that spot that he was condemned or would be condemned to death. After that had happened, there were these fire pits all around so people could stay warm and they could see. And Peter was moving from fire pit to stay warm. So he goes to one fire pit, and somebody looks at him and says, hey, I know you. You were with the Galilean, this Jesus guy. And Peter's like, no, that's my evil twin, not me. Right? You know, no, not me. So he moves over to another fire pit. And at another fire pit, he's over there, and somebody says, hey, yeah. I saw you with Jesus just a few days ago. No. He gets even stronger. No way. You guys got me mixed up. I am not that guy. Don't know what you're talking about. So he goes on to the third fire pit, to a different place. And he goes there, and then someone says, I absolutely know you were with Jesus. I know. I've got a good memory. You were with Jesus. And then he starts cursing. Beep, no, beep, no, beep. You know, I mean, he's really denying this. And then the rooster crows. And then Peter is struck with profound shame and guilt. He had denied his Lord three times. Not just a little bit of a faux pas. He actually said, I don't know him, to the point of cursing. I don't know him. Well, you know the rest of the story. Jesus is crucified. He's laid in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and he stays there for 3 days. 3 days later, the stone is rolled away, and Jesus resurrects, and he's not there anymore. Amen? Amen. Okay, so Mary and Martha go to finish some funeral stuff, and they walk into the tomb, and they're amazed that the stone's rolled away. And when they go in, there's an angel. Now, I want you to get this. This is the message. The angel from God. God sending a message to someone who has intentionally denied their faith. God is sending a message. The angel says to Mary Martha, said, look, go tell his disciples that Jesus is risen. He's gone ahead of them to Galilee. Go and meet them there. And, oh, by the way, tell his disciples and Peter. Specifically names Peter. Specifically names the person who had denied and abandoned his faith three times just a few days prior. Why? Because the shepherd would leave the 99 to save the one. Because the widow who lost a coin would clean out the whole house and sweep the corners to find the coin. And because the prodigal, when God sees him from a long way down the road, gets up and runs to meet him because he loves him and he wants him back. I don't know where you are today. I don't know where you are in your journey. But here's what I know for sure. The God of heaven stands ready to welcome you home. The God of heaven stands ready to throw the shame off, to throw the regret off, to throw the guilt off, to throw all this. He stands ready to take care of that. All you got to do is lean in. Like the prodigal, God, I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry. I'm not worthy of anything before you. But I beg you because of Jesus, forgive me and take me back. Can I tell you the great news? He always takes you back. Pray with me, please. It's sure possible that in our room today there's somebody who relates to the prodigal. Don't let the older brother keep you away. Don't let the religious people with their shame and finger pointing and murmuring and talking, don't let them keep you away from the Lord today. God will deal with them, that I promise. Don't let that happen. If you're here today and you've wandered from the Lord, whatever that wandering looks like, I wonder if you would just pray this. Just pray, Lord, it's me. Thank you for letting me pray. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Please forgive me for my sin. I am sorry. Lord, help me to turn from my sin and walk with you. Lord, please draw me back into the family. Cause me to be close to you again. Lord, thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for doing that work in my life. If you prayed that or something like that this morning, on the count of three, I want to ask you to slip up your hand. One, two, three. Just slip up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Several of you. Several of you all over the room. Thank you for being honest with the Lord. God draws near an honest heart. He resists the prideful heart. He draws near an honest heart. You want God to draw near to you? Then the scripture says draw near to him. That means you got to be honest. So you got to come near the Lord. Next, really most importantly, if you're here today and you know about the Lord but you don't know the Lord, maybe you've questioned that, right? You've sort of questioned, am I really a Christian? Well, let's settle that today. You want to? Here's how we do that. Right there where you are, just pray this. Just pray, Lord, thank you for letting me pray. Thank you for hearing my prayer right now. I thank you, Lord, that you've awakened in me faith to believe. I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm believing now like I've never believed before. Thank you for bringing that into my life. Thank you for letting that happen. Thank you for giving me faith to believe. Lord, I am sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe on the third day you resurrected from the grave. And right now I surrender myself to you and I declare you Lord over my life. Thank you for giving me the chance to pray and to become your child. Holy Spirit, fill me now and control my life. If you prayed that prayer or something like that prayer for the first time, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. One, two, three. Just slip up your hand. Slip it up so I can see it. Anybody? Slip it up so I can see it. Okay. Now there's a third group. Some of you have come to know the Lord some time ago, but you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. That has put a lid on your spiritual life, and you need to take care of that. We stand ready every single week here to baptize you and to help you follow the Lord in obedience. So if you need to do that, if you've not followed the Lord in obedience after your salvation, and you need to, we're asking you to consider that step of obedience today. Ryan and I are going to be up here after the service. You could talk to either one of us. We'll be glad to get with Debbie, set things up, and get that baptism ready for you. We want to help you with that. Well, Father, thank you for today and your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for those who have come home. Father, thank you that some prodigals have come home. Lord, that is something to celebrate, and we absolutely celebrate it. So thank you for that. And now, Lord, as we end this time in our service, again, we are thankful, Holy Spirit, for your move in the lives of people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Ryan, come on up. Ushers, come on up. This is the time where we receive our tithes and offerings. If you're a guest with us, the only thing we ask of you is this little card right here on your program. You should have this little card. The only thing we ask of you, guests, if you could please fill that out, drop that in the offering plate. We would love to have a record of your visit. If you don't get it filled out in time, that's cool. We have boxes at every door. So when you get ready to leave, just put it in the box so we can have a record of your visit. Please remember, this is how we pray for you. This is how we pray for you right here. We pray for you all the time, and we pray for you better if we know what to pray. Make sense? This is our prayer request card. Please fill that out. If you don't have time to put it in the plate again, put it in one of the boxes. I prayed through the list again this morning from last week. I pray for them. We pray for them. So please let us know how to pray for you. And by filling that out, that's how we know. Okay? We give for three reasons here at Grace. Because Jesus is Lord. Because the gospel is the most important message in the world. And the Bible says that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So if you want your heart in the kingdom, your treasure's got to be in the kingdom. If you want your heart in a boat, spend a lot of money to a boat. And then when it sinks and it's at the bottom of the St. John's, guess where your heart is? Boom, at the bottom of the St. John's, right? Nothing wrong with having a boat. You know, but this is really where your treasure needs to be, in advancing the gospel, in advancing the kingdom of God. So please give and give generously. Father, we love you. We thank you for today and your kindness and goodness. And now, Lord, as we give, I pray we do so with a good heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We have just a couple of Wednesday nights left in summer. I know you guys are super excited by that. You heard the students, you know, rejoice with their us. This week, Wednesday night, we are having a spoons tournament and cards and games and stuff with the teenagers in the gym. And then the following week is our end of the year kind of a pool party out at the Trips house. But students, make sure that you mark your calendars for that. This coming weekend is Disciple Now weekend, which is an awesome time. We've got about 20 to 25 students signed up for Disciple Now. It's a great weekend of Bible studies and some fellowship and stuff. So please be praying for our students as we dive into that. There's a lot of different things in the bulletin. The one thing that I do want to make sure we mention is the school supply drive that we're doing with Hope FM. Hope FM is kind of helping to organize that. Our church is in charge of glue sticks. So when you walked in, that's why you saw those there, that we're not giving them out as chapstick to people who talk a lot. Even though I have thought about that as a school teacher, I've thought about using it for that reason. But we are collecting that. Robin, can they still bring them to the radio station this week? Through Wednesday. Okay, so if you missed it today, bringing it to church, please make sure you get it to the radio station. For those of you who don't know where the radio station is, it's literally just down St. John's Avenue here. About a half mile, maybe on the left-hand side, maybe a half mile. It is not that far at all, but we would love for you to do that. And then there's all kinds of stuff in here, but please make sure you take a second and read it.
Great. We are also meeting on Wednesday night as adults. Our adult Bible studies through the book of Acts. We meet in this room at 6:30, so please come and be a part of that as well. Don't forget to invest and invite in people. Summer's coming to an end, so a lot of people are going to be looking to connect with church. That's been one of their things they've talked about in the summer. And it is an absolute fact. 93% of the people that come to church come because somebody invites them. You're saying, yeah, they just don't get up and come? No, not usually. It's because someone just like you invited friends just like you. And so please invest and invite in the people around you. And it's amazing what God will do with you and through you. I promise you that's true. Stand with me if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And we will be finished. Father, we love you. Thank you for today and your kindness. And Lord, your goodness is amazing. Father, the scripture says it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. And certainly, Lord, it is. So we thank you for that. And now, Father, I pray you bless these, your people. Lord, I pray you give them the greatest week they've ever had. Lord, those who are traveling right now, protect them, be with them as you bring them back home. Father, those in this room who will be traveling, protect them and be with them as they go. And Father, always help us to be mindful of the lost sheep, the lost coin, or the prodigal who may be around us. Use us, Father, to be a mouthpiece of grace and restoration in their life. We'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God's blessings on you. See you next week.